So itong kwento ng di umano ay totoong ama ni Amy. Hindi yan confirmed ng dokumento kung ano man. Okay? Don't quote us, we will deny it. Pero ang sigurado tayo ay napag-usapan yan dati. Naging chismis siya.
Heto na naman ang bagong episode mula sa ating setting, Shapers and Shakers, Personalities of Martial Law. We are your hosts. I am Deacon Delaria.
I am Vekal Borja.
I am Aaron Maliari.
And I am Joselito Ebro.
And you're tuned in to podcast, Conversations in Philippine History, Politics, and Society. Can we start this episode by saying good things about our featured personality of the week? Okay, wala. So,
sige.
Kasi isa pangako eh. Ikaw no?
Pero meron?
Wala.
Go na.
O, diba, wala? Ang pag-uusapan natin ay ang panganay na anak ni Ferdinand at Imelda, walang iba kung hindi si Amy Marcos.
Medyo sad na wala talaga tayong nasabi. Ano? Pero sino nga ba itong si Amy? No? So maliban sa bilang panganay na anak, no? Siya technically yung unang isinalang sa politika. No? Yung term ni Kaloy Tatal, yung bimpo. Narinig niyo na ba 'yon? Yung batang isinubo ng magulang sa politika. Mga bimpo.
So, bago maging trapo.
Oo, bago maging trapo. Oo. At bilang kumbaga yung manang o yung nakakatandang kapatid na babae nga ni na Marcos Jr., ni Bongbong at ni Irene, malaking responsibilidad yung nailagay sa kanyang balikat. Matapos ang pagbagsak ng mga Marcoses noong dulong bahagi ng dekada 80.
At tingnan nyo naman kung nasa na sila ngayon. O, tingnan nyo naman si Amy ngayon, di ba?
Correct. She's back in power.
Now we know her as a local politician, as a national politician. She served multiple positions in terms as a congresswoman, governor of Ilocos Norte, at ngayon ay isang senador. And also, she's known for one of her greatest hits, Ang Liit-Liit Ko Pa Noon. Pakinggan natin.
Kung ang liit-liit ko noon, paano ko i-admit? Hindi ko naman alam. Ang liit-liit ko noon, paano ko i-admit? Hindi ko naman alam. Ang liit-liit ko noon, paano ko i-admit? Hindi ko naman alam. Yung admission of guilt.
So obviously, kilala rin si Amy sa minsanang pagsisinungaling.
Minsan lang ba?
Ay, madalas pala.
Actually, maganda na sanang intro to, no? Kasi obviously, ang point ng episode nating ito ay balikan ng buhay ng napakaliit na batang si Amy sa panahon ng batas militar. Na kung paano, hindi naman talaga siya isang batang walang muwang noong mga panahon na yon, no? Pero pagkakataon na rin siguro nating pag-usapan yung ilan sa masasabi nating contentious na aspeto ng kanyang buhay under the public eye.
Sige na nga. Simulan natin nung talagang maliit pa siya. Ipinanganak si Amy bilang Maria Imelda Josefa Remedios Romualdez Marcos. O mas kilala na Amy noong November 12, 1955 sa Mandaluyong. Dinaig pa niya talaga si Jose Rizal sa pahabaan ng pangalan. No?
Eh kasi syempre pag mayaman ka, may tagasulat ka ng pangalan. Diba?
Totoo.
Charat.
Pero that time, 1955, si Ferdinand Marcos ay nasa kanyang ikalawang termino bilang congressman or representative ng Ilocos Norte.
Yeah, pero may kontrobersya na agad dyan. Kasi isa sa mga umugong na usap-usapan or maring biroan noon ay hindi raw si Ferdinand ang tunay na ama ni Amy. Ito ay mga chismis lamang, reminder. This is unverified, mind you, pero context muna. No? So, Imelda never really won any beauty contest. In fact, she lost. No? So, somehow, nakakonect daw siya kay Arsenio Lacson. Napaka-marites ko naman dito. daw siya kay Arsenio Lacson, then mayor of Manila, who gave her a title. Which is true, no? So, yung muse of Manila, no? So, anyway, ayon sa balibalita, sa usap-usapan, ito raw ang tunay na ama ni Amy. Again, unverified information po ito. Chismis po ito, no? So, ang basis daw ay ang very prominent na facial feature ni Amy. No, yung kanyang noo. Joke lang. Ayoko na. Ang marites ko dito sa ano.
Nakakatawa yung rumor na yan. Pero, guys, chismis is not history. Okay? Chismis, chismis. Mm.
May sinulat pa naman ako tungkol dyan sa rapper.
So, itong kwento ng Di Umano ay totoong ama ni Aimee. Hindi yan confirmed ng dokumento kung ano man. Okay? Don't quote us, we will deny it. Pero ang sigurado tayo ay napag-usapan yan dati. Naging chismis siya, di ba? Okay, sabihin natin, yung mga chismis ay cultural product ng panahon. Okay.
Correct.
So, di ba?
Correct. Artifacts, mm-hmm, artifacts.
Mm-hmm. Sige, ituloy pa natin to. I mean, you couldn't blame the people kung nagkakaroon ng mga ganitong rumors about the family. Lalo na kung nasa kapangyarihan kayo and therefore, nasa spotlight kayo for more than 2 decades.
Celebrities.
Tama,
yeah.
Exactly. Mm.
True. So, ayun na nga, lumaki si Aimee sa gitna ng rise to the presidency ni Ferdinand Marcos. In 1965, when Aimee was 9 years old, his father became the president. At by the time na magdeklara ng martial law ang kanyang ama, noong 1972, ilang taon na si Aimee?
16. Sweet 16.
At noong 1972, bata pa siya noon, ano, she was actually in the United States. No? She was studying. She did her basic schooling sa Poveda hanggang grade 5. And sa Assumption hanggang first year high school. And then according to her, this is her account, she did the rest of her high school sa iba't ibang schools like sa American School sa Makati, sa United Kingdom. At nagtapos daw siyang class valedictorian sa Santa Catalina Convent sa California. So matalino talaga si Aimee.
Mm.
Ang catch, hindi ito totoo. No?
Mm.
She attended classes during the autumn term of 1972. Sabi mismo sa record ng Santa Catalina Convent sa California, but that's it.
Grabe.
And that's not all, ah. No? So she made big claims, no, about her educational background, which, you know, na-prove na false, no. So she said na she was awarded a degree from Princeton University. Princeton said no, walang degree. No, she said na she has a degree from the Asian Institute of Management, AIM. Again, AIM says wala. And the course she claims to have finished never existed. Ganun kalala, no? So finally, she has mentioned na nag-graduate siya ng honors from UP with a Bachelor of Laws. UP mismo yung nagsabi, she has neither honors nor a record of graduation.
So, ang nakakatawa pa sa case ni Aimee at ng UP law degree niya, may graduation photos. Diba? So, ano yun? Then again, if your father is the president of the Philippines for 21 years, you can achieve whatever you want to achieve. Apparently, totoo naman daw na umattend ng law classes si Aimee. The problem is that because she has no certificate of eligibility, kasi nga hindi naman siya nakapagtapos ng undergrad sa Princeton, hindi siya ma-awardan ng law degree sa UP. Basically, or in simple terms, hindi siya pinagraduate. Pero dahil natapos niya yung classes, nag-hold ang UP College of Law ng recognition ceremony. Consentidor din, ano? Pero hindi ibig sabihin, no, nagtapos siya kasi wala siyang record of graduation.
Oo. So, in short, parang ano to eh, consuelo de bobo. So, saktong-sakto for Aimee, no? At actually, bagong-bago itong issue ng degree na ito, ano, parang ngayon naman natin ito narinig. Kasi parang yung kapatid din niya, di ba? Hindi rin naman nakatapos. Kasi nga naman, noong mga panahon na yun, wala pang ChatGPT. So, hirap sila makatapos. Pero, anyway, from this very problematic background of educational attainment, no, mag-proceed naman tayo sa iba pang aspeto ng buhay ni Aimee. No? What about her introduction to politics? Yan ang pag-uusapan natin sa aming pagbabalik.
Right, so the year was 1975. Ferdinand Marcos signed Presidential Decree 684, creating the Pambansang Katipunan ng Kabataang Barangay ng Pilipinas noong April 15, 1975. So, interesting itong kabataang barangay kasi a little over a decade before it, another kabataan something was founded at iyan ay ang kabataang makabayan, OKM, the youth arm of Partido Komunista ng Pilipinas nung panahon na yon, yung luma pa na PKP. So, mukhang may correlation itong kabataang barangay or KB dun sa KM na nung mga panahon na to ay malaki na, talagang nationwide na ang presence. Parang yun yung sagot nung pamahalaan. Kabataang barangay versus kabataang makabayan. At isa pa, pareho ang logo ng dalawang grupong ito. So what's interesting about this is that Aimee Marcos, then 20 years old, was appointed as its national chairperson.
Iyang kabataang barangay ay predecessor ng Sangguniang Kabataan or SK na malamang pamilyar na tayong lahat. At ayon sa PD 684, bawat barangay ay dapat na maghalal ng kanilang KB officials. At similar nga ang role nila sa SK. Pero ang pagkakaiba lang is sa SK, 18 to 24 ang maaaring bumoto. Sa KB or kabataang barangay, 15 to 18 lang.
Correct. No? So this brings to the fore a crucial issue. Bakit si Aimee ang ginawang national chairperson ay halos 20 na siya by the time na KB was established? No? So, obviously, isa itong kaso ng nepotism, no, for lack of a better term. No? So, I mean, hindi naman out of character for the Marcoses kasi height na ito ng martial law and ang tingin na talaga nila sa Malacanang ay pag-aari nila. Diba? Yung mga term nga ngayon, uuwi sila, ganyan yung mga term nila. No? So, anyway, Aimee's stint as KB chairperson was mired in controversy over the death of a student activist, no, si Archimedes Trajano. No, so si Archimedes Trajano ay isang estudyante mula sa Mapua. Noong August 31, 1977, umaten siya sa isa sa mga open forum, parang mga town hall meeting, sa PLM or pamantasan ng lungsod ng Maynila, kung saan speaker si National Chairperson Aimee Marcos. So he asked in the forum, no, nagtanong siya sa open forum si Trajano, no, so ang tanong niya ay must the kabataang barangay be headed by the president's daughter, kumbaga, no, so she would not have gotten the position if she weren't the daughter of the president. Ganyan yung phrasing nung pagtatanong ni Trajano. So syempre, 'di ba, ano yon, talagang talk of the town, no. So apparently, kwento ay nairita daw si Aimee sa tanong na ito. And mysteriously, Trajano was, Trajano was forcefully thrown out of the forum at binugbog ng mga bodyguards ni Aimee. And unfortunately, that was the last time he was seen alive.
3 days later, his body turned up with very clear signs of beating, torture, at grabe daw yung pagsirang ginawa sa kanyang muka. This did not make the news, however, kasi guess who controls the media? Pero may isang maliit, maikling article sa one of the lesser newspapers at the time that reported on Trajano's case as a fraternity-related death. So, grabe no, nagtanong ka lang sa open forum, tapos pinatay ka.
And actually, I think itong si Aimee hanggang ngayon, kita mo sa mukha niya kapag visibly flustered siya sa mga tanong sa kanya. So I wonder what goes through her head, no? Or if she is reminded of maybe Trajano, yung incident na yan.
For sure, naalala niya yan. Kasi nakapagsampa ng kaso ang nanay ni Archimedes Trajano laban kay Aimee at kay Fabian Ver, na dating chief ng AFP. Habang nasa Hawaii sila noong 1986, that's after the People Power Revolution. At ayon sa report, inamin ni Aimee na alam niya yung nangyari kay Trajano, but it was none of her business daw. Ultimately, the court in Hawaii found Aimee guilty in 1993 conviction. She was ordered to pay $4 million in damages to the Trajanos. Pero as usual na technical sa Philippine Supreme Court ang ruling na ito. Kasi defective daw yung pag-issue ng summons kay Aimee. So Aimee was able to ignore the ruling from Hawaii.
By the way, 2006 na itong ruling ng Supreme Court about the defects of this invalid substituted service. Mali daw kasi yung napagbigyan ng summons. So hindi raw doon nakatira si Aimee. So perhaps we can just add this, no, to the list of injustices na sinapit ni Archimedes Trajano.
Yeah, afterlives.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, going back, the Kabataang Barangay was overhauled post-1986 at ang current SK ngayon, mayroon ng anti-dynasty provision. No? Dahil dito nga kay IME.
Yeah, deserve. Correct, no? So maliban sa kanyang pagiging bahagi ng KB, itong si IME ay naging bahagi rin ng Batasang Pambansa as one of the two assembly representatives of Ilocos Norte. No, so this was a position she held until the dissolution of the Batasan in 1986.
Pero meron pang isang very interesting na anecdote about IME during martial law. Yung kanyang kwentong pag-ibig. Ito, hindi niya to chismis ah. Seryoso to. So alam nyo ba, itong si Imelda Marcos, pinangarap na maiparas itong si IME kay Prince Charles, na ngayon ay si King Charles na.
So just another one of Mami Meldy's Delulu moments ito. Correct. Ano? Anyway, syempre hindi ito nag-materialize, no? But we know na talagang enamored by royalty itong si Imelda. Ito marahil ang isa sa mga dahilan kung bakit at some point nagka-British accent si IME Marcos. Pakinggan natin ito sa clip na ito.
The first of these awards for an exceptional first film by a new director goes to the Polish director Julius Kmaczulski for his film Babay.
By the way, this was from the Manila International Film Festival. No, pet project ni Imelda noong 1982. Interesting yung 1982 ah, kasi yan din yung same year na magiging laman ng headlines si IME at ang kanyang totoong love story. Pag-uusapan natin yan sa ating pagbabalik.
So the year was 1982. The Manotok family took to the television and announced that their son, Tommy Manotok, was missing. Boom. No? They didn't say anything about the Marcoses, but soon enough, rumors flew about how Ferdinand Marcos had Tommy kidnapped by the military because he was romantically involved with none other than IME Marcos, 'di ba? Ganda.
So what a weird pairing, if ever, ano? Kasi the Manotoks were then identified with the opposition. Most importantly, may asawa na kasi to si Tommy. Sa isang totoong beauty queen na si Aurora P1, Miss International 1970. So anyway, ayon sa istorya, kinasal na nga raw si IME kay Tommy at hindi raw sang-ayon si Ferdinand Marcos, kaya ipinakidnap itong si Tommy Manotok. So for a few days, nagkaroon ng word war between the two camps. Ang sabi ng spokesperson ni Marcos, hindi naman totoo yung kasal kasi walang divorce sa Pilipinas at married pa si Tommy at si Aurora. At may dalawa silang anak. Itong si Tommy daw ay kinidnap ng, hulaan nyo.
Sige, ano pa ba?
Sabihin ko, sasasabihin ko na. Kinidnap daw ng NPA. Again, ang boogeyman ng mga Marcos ay ang mga komunista.
This news made international headlines. Nawawala ang diumanoy son-in-law ni Marcos. At posibleng siya pa ang nagpadakip. It was not unknown that Meldy and Ferdy did not like the setup between the two. Kasi nga, pamilyado na si Tommy.
What's disconcerting is that after nga mawala itong si Tommy, may mensaheng na-receive from the NPA daw for asking for the release of 4 jailed leaders of the Communist Party and payment of $2.5 million.
Wow.
Which was sketchy kasi, diba, bilang komunista, anong gagawin mo sa perang yun? Anyway, Tommy surfaces later, apologizes for being gone, says he was in fact kidnapped by the NPA, and that he doesn't want to talk about it anymore.
Oh, no. So, well, for me, no, this anecdote, like the rest of the many stories about IME during martial law, is quite telling of who IME was and what she was supposed to be. No, so at least sa mata ng kanyang parents, ano, she was envisioned to continue the family's legacy. Well, kasi diba, panganay. No? So I mean, for whatever reason, would she be pursuing to study abroad, to take up law in UP, like his father, to lead Kabataang Barangay, no? So she was, you know, practically being groomed to continue the legacy.
Totoo. And yet, itong kwento ng pakikipag-ulayaw ni Aimee sa lalaking may asawa na was uncharacteristic of her, kumbaga. Kasi lumabas siya sa mold na pinipilit sa kanya ng magulang niya. Diba? Kasi hodang may asawa yan at may anak. Pag-ibig eh. So, kita mo rin yung disappointment on part of Ferdinand and Imelda.
May accounts yan actually eh, na galit na galit daw. Particularly si Imelda kasi nga Catholic sila eh. Yun yung pinapakita nila sa taong bayan eh, that they were very devout Catholics. At ayun nga, iniisip siguro nila no, na kung ano-anong magic na ngayon ginawa nila to lead her to success. Diba? Ganun lang yung nangyari. But I think how Aimee turned out is still true to the role that she intended to play. For one, she was never really out of power since 1998. In fact, she was part of the Marcos political dynasty established post-EDSA and was crucial to the return of the Marcoses to the Malacañang. Together with her sons and her sister Irene, they were named in the leaked Panama Papers as beneficiaries of offshore accounts that are allegedly linked to the ill-gotten wealth of the family. So, she is at the center of it all.
Totoo yan. Sa tingin ko nga, siya yung mukha ng propaganda no, ng mga Marcoses ngayon or ng mga pro-Marcos. Baka kasi mas kaya niyang i-articulate yung talking points ng propaganda na to. O mas willing siya makipagbardagulan. Yung parang short parody videos niya, naalala niyo na nilabas noong election last year?
Hmm.
O yung mga Daryl Yap movies na blatant historical distortion projects na allegedly ay producer daw siya. It's very clear how different she is from her brother.
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear what role Aimee played during martial law and what her role will be in the future. No? So one thing is certain, malaki na siya noong panahon ng batas militar. At alam niya ang role na ginagampanan niya mula sa pag-lead sa KB na naging dahilan ng pagkawala ng isang aktivista na si Trajano at sa mga fake credentials at diploma at iba pa. So far from the supposedly little girl she says she was during those years.
Maraming salamat sa pakinginig sa isa na namang episode ng Shapers and Shakers. Magbabalik kami next week for a new one. For now, continue supporting podcast by liking our social media pages. We are on all major ones at nasa YouTube din kami as Podcast TV.
Bisitahin niyo ang aming website, podcast.org, at pakinggan ang aming mga naunang episodes anywhere you listen to podcasts. So muli, maraming salamat sa pakinig. Keep safe and have a good day.